Everyone's going to be in, tonight in Psalm 150. We're going to go away from our study of the life of David tonight. I think appropriately, as we meet here for our first time, and I thought we'd go to a psalm of praise. And so Psalm 150. And, you know, sometimes we have people do something nice for us, and that person, they desire, you know, to be anonymous or something like that. But as they do something for us, there's a desire in our heart to say to them, thank you for what they've done. As I finished my internship at a church in Tucson, Arizona, when I was out west with Dr. Ed Nelson, and I got a phone call from my mom on the last day I was there. I was getting ready early to leave and head back. And mom said that, we might hear some crackling and popping if we do, that's fine. Mom said that somebody had put $5,000 on my school bill back in 1998. That was a lot of money. It's a lot of money now. And I didn't have a school bill, so that was a credit to me. But I was able to go back, and though it was anonymous, I talked to the financial department there, Bob Jones, and asked if I could send a thank you through them to them. And I was able to do that, and just let them know of the appreciation for that. You know, it's, you kind of pity a person that doesn't know that somebody has done something nice for them, that they don't recognize it, they're not thankful for it. We would rightly describe someone like that as maybe an ingrate or calloused or hard-hearted or something like that, because they're acting as if the world owes them, that they deserve maybe what they have. And even when we think about it with regard to God, they think they deserve their health, they think they deserve their wealth, they think they deserve what they've got. And so tonight, do we realize, you know, that everything that we have is something that God's given to us, that God's been incredibly gracious to us. And obviously, as we're in the building here tonight, the new church home that we have, God gave us the funding for it. And we rightly praise God for his incredible grace. God miraculously allowed us to contact the owner and negotiate a great price. And, you know, the miracle of God allowing that. God allowed us to fix it up and be debt-free in the process. And God is miraculously growing our church family at the same time. And that's been the best part of what we've seen the last year and a half, is seeing new faces come in, seeing some get saved, and look forward to just 2.5 weeks, seeing William and Robin and Marco follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And so we would be remiss this evening not to thank God for the blessings that he's given us. And so Psalm 150 again is our text, and a simple thought for our consideration tonight. I think this will be a shorter Bible study this evening. I do want us to spend a good amount of time in prayer this evening and just focusing on what God has for us this week. But we ought to continually be praising God. And so how often do we stop to give God praise? Did you stop today at some point and say, God, I praise your name. Thank you for what you're doing. Do your lips bring glory to the God who gave you those lips for praising him and other things? And so let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. We are working, just for the sake of anybody that's watching this, we're working on the audio and other things. It's a test run tonight, and so if we have popping, cracking, whatever, do your best of us to focus in on what God has, and I'll do my best not to be distracted by it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I praise you for the grace that you give, and thank you for your loving kindness. And Lord, we look forward to when we can live stream, and Lord willing, we'll be getting to that point very quickly. There's some things, obviously, that we'll have to work out, and we pray that the Spirit of God give us wisdom about it. If we have to go out the audio tonight, then we'll do that. But Father, we just pray that you'd help us to work through these things and be discerning and be wise. And yet the last thing we want tonight is technology to hinder us. And if we have to preach on Saturday and Sunday without mics, we'll do that. But I pray, God, for wisdom, if there's a way to adjust things as we go along. But I pray for the power of God tonight as we study the Word of God. It's in Christ and we pray. Amen. Okay, and so just 5 points tonight from Psalm 150 about praising God. Praising God. You ought to be continually praising God. So praise God in his holy place. It says, praise you the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. And we've been calling this place a sanctuary. And I praise God tonight that we're standing in this place and having the service. But the sanctuary in the Old Testament was the tabernacle, or it was the temple. It was a place where the presence of God would come down to meet with his people and to meet with them corporately. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so tonight, this is a sanctuary. We're going to call it the sanctuary, and I like that. It's a place that is set apart for God, a holy place. But really, in reality, the sanctuary is the church. It's the people. It's the ones that have God in their heart, okay? And that's a little too loud. I'm feeling like I've got a lot of power here, Sam. It's too hot. It's got to go down. And so the heathen, as we think about tabernacles, we're talking about the tabernacle of our heart. The heathen people had temples as well as God's people. And so the heathen people had idol temples. That was metal, wood, stone images that they would bow down to. They would have shrines. They would go there to worship. You can imagine as you go to India or countries like that, they've got gold-domed edifices. That's their place of worship. That's their temple. And they go and they sacrifice to the idols that are there. Similarly, okay, as the believers have a temple of God in their heart, unbelievers have temples in their heart as well. And so today, if you're somebody that is not saved, they've got sport enshrined on their heart. A lot of people, that's their God. They bow down to it. They spend a lot of time with it. They spend a lot of money on it. It drives them. It's what they talk about if you're to talk to them. A lot of people that are ungodly have wickedness enshrined in their heart. It could be fleshly lust, indebtedness, from gambling and lusting after money, things like that that they bow down to, they're enslaved to, they spend their money on those things. They love those idols, and you know it if you know them. If you know that person, you know what their idol is. Their idol is sport, their idol is the pub, their idol is maybe a guy or girl or something like that, but that's what they adore, that's what their life is all about. And so tonight, as we think about God being praised in his holy place, the sanctuary, is God enshrined in your heart tonight? You know, that ought to be the thing that we often speak about God. We often, maybe just in conversation with somebody that maybe isn't even an unbeliever, just talk about the goodness of God, the grace of God. Yeah, certainly God ought to be who we're investing in and putting finances into. God ought to consume our time in these things. And so is God enshrined in our heart? And if so, just like we know, if somebody's got sports or other things enshrined in their heart, do others see that about us and say, you know, I know one thing about them. They love God. You know, they're always on their way to church. They're always talking about God. They're always involved in things that have to do with spiritual things. Certainly, if God is enshrined in their heart as it should be, they would look at us and say, I see that about your life. So we ought to be praising God tonight in the sanctuary of our heart, his holy place. And then praise God in his heavenly place. It says, praise him in the firmament of his power. As a parent, I'm different from my child or children, though we are both people, all right? I look at my kids, they're people, and I'm a people. But we're different, even though we're the same. I remember, I think it was Ethan used Sam's term of endearment for his wife and called his mom Babe. You know, I think if I remember right. And that's funny to us, because you're like, you know what? Dad can do that, but you can't. The kids are like, I don't get it. You know, and then they're growing up and they use the first name of their mom and dad. And all of a sudden in public, it's like, no, you don't get it. We are not equal. You don't use my first name, mom and dad, please. You know, because you understand the authority that's there. You know, God is a person, but God is not like you or I. God is different than us because God is so far above us. And again, we go back to praise him in the firmament of his power. Firmament means sky. Okay, and so of his power, speaking of his heavenly position, far, far above us tonight. You know, it's not humorous tonight when men forget God's place. It's not humorous when men speak about the big man or use a flippant term about God and speak irreverently about him or forget his position. And so the Bible says about God from Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Psalm 84, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Ecclesiastes 5:2, be not rash with thy mouth, let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. I mean, God is so far above us. Does that resonate with us tonight? Is there a recognition that I praise God in his high position, far, far above me? You know, since God is like that, our opinion doesn't matter when it comes to God's opinion. Our will doesn't matter when it comes to God's will. God is God is so far above us, it doesn't really matter where I'm at. I recognize, you know what? If my will contradicts God's will is the way. And I yield to that if God is enshrined in my heart in his high position. You know, man is nothing compared to God. God is in heaven. Isaiah 40:22 says, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heaven as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Psalm 47:8, God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. God is perfectly righteous in his righteous place and righteous position. Revelation 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Revelation 7:10, and cried with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. So there you are in heaven. You've got the people that are there bowing down to Almighty God, recognizing his exalted and high position. Again, tonight, we think about praising God. Do we recognize that God is far above us? Praise him in the firmament of his power. And then thirdly tonight, praise God in his hall of fame. Praise him in his hall of fame. It says in verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Some people in a sports, say a sports hall of fame, blow away their competition. I mean, they're just far, far beyond them. I think of in the realm of golf, you got Tiger Woods and Tiger, you know, nobody plays like Tiger Woods. They say, you know, he was just so far above, winning all the tournaments. And I mean, people just couldn't compete. He was in a different league from them. But they say about another guy that's coming up, and I don't watch golf that much, but there's a born-again believer that is a golfer. And my argument is, he's golfing on the Lord's Day, and I'm not a fan of that. But his name's Scottie Scheffler. And about Scottie Scheffler, I heard a news reporter saw it and said, I never thought I would say this, the announcer said, but he's like Tiger Woods. You know, Tiger's just way up there above everybody else, but here's a guy, again, he's got that thing. And if you looked at their record, you'd see in this Scottie Scheffler, I think he's won 6 majors this year. He is just way above everybody. But they would have that list with their name because they're so far advanced in their records, in their achievements. Hebrews 11 in the Bible, sometimes called the Hall of Faith, and I've said to our church, I like to call it the history of faith, because rather than being a record of man and man's achievements, it's more a record of God and what God has done with men through faith. You read that and you look at that and you say, well, that's amazing, you know, that these men achieved this. If tonight, let's just cut the audio. Let's just turn it off for now. We'll work on it after church. Yeah. In fact, you know what? I'll let you sit there and I'll just do this and I'll go like that. All right, we'll just cut the audio. We'll work on it afterwards. We're getting too much going on here. If we were to look at God's record, you know, so we're talking about man's record, what men have achieved, Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. But if we had the hall of faith, or the hall of, not faith, but the hall of incredible greatness about God, where would we begin to speak about God? God created by just speaking a word. The Bible says, and God said, bringing a flood upon the ungodly, and God's wrath coming in this world and covering every hill on this planet with water. It's incredible what God did, bringing Israel out of Egypt and leading them through the wilderness, and all those mighty acts that God did, the 10 plagues to deliver them from Egypt, and then the wilderness wanderings, and how God brought water out of a rock, how God brought quail, you know, and fed them with meat, how God brought manna, you know, this food from heaven that would come down. Again, just speaking about the greatness of God. Delivering Israel again and again from their enemies as they passed through that, and then bringing them into the promised land and the mighty conquest that they had. After that, later in history, as Jesus Christ became human flesh and was born of a virgin, the incredible work of God making his son into a man, and God bringing his son to this world to die on the cross for our sin, everything that Jesus Christ did for us. And then begin to think about that in our life: salvation, sanctification, mercy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, all the good things that God is doing in our life. And so tonight, as we speak about honoring God in the hall of faith, praise him for what in your text? Verse 2, his mighty acts. And so just to pause and maybe in our day, stop and consider and say, what has God done? Who is God? And begin to just praise God for his incredible works that he has done. And so we join the heavenly chorus as we sing praise to God and rejoice in his greatness, in his high place, in his holy place, in his hall of fame. And then praise God in his exalted highness. Okay, it says in verse 2, it says, praise him according to his excellent greatness. We understand greatness in life. You know, I were to speak about IQ, and I thought about sharing something about IQ, but I couldn't understand it. Tommy might appreciate that, okay? And so when you talk about IQ, some people are smarter than other people, right? They've got big brains. And I mean, they know the answers. And I mean, we understand that is great. And somebody could be a great intellectual, or maybe a great a chess player or something like that. And we exalt them for that greatness. When we love somebody, we speak about their greatness. Now, our grandparents in our church have incredible self-discipline. The reason I say that is because I don't know the last time that I've gotten a picture of a grandchild or a conversation maybe about a grandkid, but that's a very common thing, isn't it? To speak about those that we love. You know, my dad passed away recently. It would not be unusual for me to speak, you know, a loving way about my dad, that my dad was a great pianist, you know, or my dad was a great preacher, or something like that, because we think about them and we love them. We want to talk about them to other people and praise them before others because of their greatness. And so as we stop and think about God, where do we begin? Again, as we talk about who God is and his character and the greatness of his character. And so let me just suggest a few to us tonight. We could speak of God's holiness. That God is without sin. Does that matter to you that tonight that God is without sin? Well, let me say that if God had any sin in him, this book would be untrue. Our everything would fall apart because we couldn't trust God. We couldn't believe God. But praise God tonight. God is perfectly holy. God is not a man that he should lie. And so everything that God has said is true. Everything that God has said in his word is true. So that tonight we have an anchor for our faith, a pin that is unmovable because of God's holiness. We ought to stop maybe tonight and even praise God. God, thank you for your holiness. I praise you for your holiness. God's love. I mean, who else would take their son, the perfect and holy son? You know, death is the punishment for sin, and take their son and put him on a cross of shame and pain and suffering and all the abuse, and then put the sin of the world upon him. But God did. What about his mercy? Not dealing with us according to our sin. Not, you know, we sin against God. God doesn't go, well, that's it. You're done. And but God is merciful. He's long-suffering. You know, so many times he gives us opportunity to repent. He doesn't have to say, you know, he could go, you messed up. That's it. But God in his mercy, so many times is long-suffering where he allows us to have something, disobedience in our life. And he gives us time to repent and to get right with him. Praise God for his long suffering. What about God's kindness? If God is good to us, do we deserve it? Do we deserve this tonight? I mean, do we deserve technology that might pop and crack on screen, but we're going to figure it out where it works and we're going to be able to live stream? It is going to happen. There's been other things that God has brought us through to this point that we prayed about, and it's just because God's good. I can look all over this place and I see God's goodness tonight. What about God's interest and his concern? You know, that God thinks about us multiplied times, just constantly. We're on his mind, on his heart, that God is aware of us and we ought to do likewise, right, thinking about him. And so when is the last time you praised God for his excellent greatness, his character, and who he is? And then tonight, as praise God for his, I'm sorry, praise God in his audience. What we've been talking about to this point is Praise God in his holy place. Praise God in his high place. Praise God, you know, for his hall of fame and everything that he's done. Praise him for his person, who his person is. We've talked about those things. But then the last thing tonight is kind of the rest of the song, but it has to do with us. And so praise God in his audience, in his audience. Did anyone else see the video of Keir Starmer walking up to a balcony and looking down, and there's a group of maybe seven Welsh children that are down there, and they're singing. He's a new prime minister. He walks up. He's got his maybe secretary, but you know, another person there. I don't know, deputy that was there, and they look down and engage with those kids and begin to speak to them. And the kids said with their teacher, we're practicing. Why are you practicing? Because we're going to get to sing before King Charles. And so they got to sing before the prime minister. They're going to get to sing before King Charles, and they get to engage with them. You know, tonight included, and this is where I hate the distractions of what we've done tonight in a way, because we've wanted to test things and get a trial run for Saturday and Sunday. But this isn't about technology, and it's not about us. It's about tonight. As we came to church, we're engaging with God. When we worship, we're engaging with God. And so we're having an audience with him. And so from our text, praise God musically. Musically. We now find, as we get to this part in the text, verse 3, that it's corporate worship that we're reading about. It's congregational worship. And so it says in verse 3, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Have you ever seen the one-man band guys that have, like, drums hooked up to their legs and little straps running down and bang something on their back and cymbals clack? And, I mean, they just can beep a horn, you know, and they're just kind of everything. One-man band. I don't think that David is speaking about a one-man band as he's speaking about, hey, we got this part of the orchestra, this part of the orchestra, the symphony and the brass and the percussion and the excitement of that. He's talking about a great congregation that is worshiping God. Our family went and watched a few weeks ago, went and watched at Usher Hall, the Royal Scottish National Orchestra, have a concert. The great thing about those concerts is kids go free. And so it's a nice outing for us as a family to get there, and we really enjoyed it. But the cool thing about this concert was that you've got the conductor, and he's excellent. You've got the incredible orchestra in front of him. Then you had a huge choir of, I don't know, 150 people, voices, I think. I mean, that's what it looked like, or maybe more or less, I don't know, but a lot, a huge choir. And then up in the third tier of the balcony, you've got, in the front of it, you've got two brass sections, in the back, you've got another brass section. And so we've got all these instruments that are up there with us. We're up in that upper level. And so it was amazing when you get to those points, and there's like the third movement or the fourth movement, he is going, cueing people there and there and there and there and there. I mean, and he's got it all going. He's directing. And I see David in our text here is kind of like that. He's cueing everybody. He's like, you're there, and you're there, and you're there, and you're there. And he's bringing them in together to worship God. You know, when we watch that symphony, there was, I think I shared this about, you know, and there's this part where the brass is playing. Then all of a sudden I looked up and I said to Katie, I said, look over here. Because we're sitting where we got brass there, across from us there, and the orchestra's down there. And we can see this guy. He's in the very back of the top. And here he comes with his tuba. He is running down the stairs. I thought, oh, he's going to get sick. He gets to the stairs. Thankfully, turns the corner, doesn't go over the railing, and he disappears. And then about 2 minutes later, right as that movement was ending, the side door opens. And this guy rushes in onto the stage and sits down. I mean, it was just perfect timing. The movement ends, and he comes, sits down. Next movement begins. He had a part that he had to play, and he had to get there. You know, how important is it to you to be in your place to worship God? How, you know, I mean, the congregation thing that's speaking about, and he's got all these different instruments. Well, look, if one person showed up, what do they got? Clang, clang, clang. If it's a cymbalist,
you know, or blow up all this brass, but they don't have the whole thing going because they're not all there. And so it's important. I you know, as a church, very specifically with regard to this text, we need to have focus that God in your time, we'd love to have a choir. We'd love to have more people getting up here. We'd love to have more instruments that are playing actively in the service as we're playing our worship, because that's part of what we do, because we worship God as a congregation, all right? We praise God in his audience. We get there to sound our praise to God in his musical praise. And then praise God manually, if I could say it that way. And I'm just speaking about the man emphasis there. Praise God manually. Verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Where does our breath come from?
It's
air. Yeah, it's air, but where does it come from? Who gives us our breath? It's a gift from
God.
Yeah, it's God. Yeah, I with Tommy that sighed when I said that. Take a big deep breath, you know, and every time you do that, God gave that to you. That's what the Word of God says. Psalm 104:29, thou hidest thy face, they are troubled, thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. And so what's amazing to me is somebody uses their breath to blaspheme God, mock God, curse God, and all those things, and yet God gave that to them. And they're using it against them. Or they use it to belittle their family, or to get angry, or to curse, or to complain, right? And to think tonight that we can take the breath that God's given to us, and we rightly, when we are singing, Logan's up here leading the singing, that's not just something that we do because, well, it's a church. We do that because it's biblical, because it's right for us to open our mouth and to proclaim our praise to God. And so the psalmist here ends with a command to each one of us. Notice what he said. He said, praise ye the Lord. I can say it like this. You praise the Lord, right? You praise the Lord. That's what he's saying. He's saying, praise ye the Lord. Everything that hath breath. We ought to, of all people, you know, and we ought to take our breath and use it for God. Now somebody could argue and say, well, Pastor, I'm not a good singer, you know, or I don't know how to really make it come out that great, so I can't really sing out or something like that. But if you've ever been to a rally and you've got an MC that's up there trying to excite the congregation, what do they say often? They say, let's make some noise, right? Let's make some noise. You know, the Bible says about our worship that we're to lift our voice in praise, that we're to make a joyful noise to the Lord. It ought to be exciting, you know. And I'll just tell you, it's somewhat contradictory sometimes when we're singing a hymn, like, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. That's a kid's chorus, but you're just like, I just don't believe it. You know, I've got the joy, 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 joy. I can't even do it. Down in my heart. Well, wait a second. If it's in your heart, get it out on your face, right? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. And so Psalm 66:1, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Psalm 81:1, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Psalm 95:1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Psalm 98:4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. A loud noise, make a loud noise, and rejoice and sing praise. Psalm 98:6, with trumpets and sound of the cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And would you be surprised if that psalm says at the beginning, a psalm of praise? And so we're going to praise God. How do we do it? We praise him in his audience. And God is here tonight, and God has heard this. And I know we've had some distractions this evening, and again, I regret that, but despite that, we sing praises to God. We worship God. And that was not us singing for one another or trying to encourage one another. That was us lifting our voice in praise to God. I don't know about you, but I don't like to do things for others and not be acknowledged. I don't mind sometimes. But I mean this in this sense. I'm driving my car and I see somebody that needs to get across the road. And I kindly go, I don't have to yield to them. I kindly stop my vehicle. And they cross. I do not like if they totally ignore me as they cross the road. I like this. I like something to acknowledge, like that you did something for me, and I see what you did, and I want you to know that I see what you did. Thank you. Thank you, and I hope I do the same. And so tonight, what about God? I wonder how much God likes it, if I could put it that way. When he does so much for us, but that we can't stop and say, God, I just got to praise you. Now, we might be quick to pray. We got a need, and I hope we are. I hope we're quick. We got a need and something burdening us, troubling us. I hope we're quick to go to God and say, God, I've got a need. God, please, meet my need. I'm concerned about this. But again, how quick are we on the flip side when everything's good and it's going so well to stop and say, God, I just want to praise you. So God helps us not to be unthankful, ignorant, or callous, or hard-hearted, or things like that, that we rightly call somebody that is unthankful, but be somebody that praises God. And so tonight, just to recap, praise God in his holy place. That means he should be enshrined in our heart. That's the sanctuary in the New Testament. That's the temple. And so it ought to be natural that we speak about God because God ought to have first place there, that we give to God because God has first place there, that we speak about God because God has first place there. That ought to be the case if we're praising God as we should from our heart in his holy place. It will be true. And then praise God in his heavenly place. Recognize, God, you are far above me. God, I do not deserve anything. What is man, as David said, that thou art mindful of him? Praise God in his hall of fame. Just stop and think, what has God done? And by the way, on Saturday, I wrote the message that I'm going to share on Saturday. Today, I'm going to do a lot of testifying as we come to that. I think it's important for us to go back, look at the story, remember what God's done, because God has done so many things, but that's us remembering the hall of fame because of his mighty acts that he has done. And then praise God in his exalted highness, recognizing who he is, that he's holy, that he is long-suffering, that he is merciful, and beginning to praise God for his person. And then praise God in his audience. Even tonight, we're going to pray. Well, praise God. Let's say some praises to God. And as we do that, it's like those kids engaging with the prime minister, or in the future, near future, engaging with the king as they sing before the king. And as they maybe have conversation with the king, even so, as we praise God, we are in his audience. And we have been tonight. I praise God tonight that God has met with us. And I'm so thankful tonight that I stand behind this pulpit that's just been completed and delivered an hour ago. And that God gave wisdom about this, that God gave wisdom about that, that God gave wisdom about this, that God gave wisdom about that, that God is giving wisdom about that and those, because we need God to do that, but God's going to do it. This ceiling, and we just start going through this place, and we can walk around, and we can go, wow, praise God. And I think it's a good night for us to look at Psalm 150 and say, praise ye the Lord. All right, let's go to Lord prayer. Father, I thank you for the grace that you give. And Father, we are very grateful to you for your goodness. We're here tonight to express our gratitude to you for your incredible goodness. We're going to be here on Saturday as well for the same purpose, and then on Sunday. And Father, we thank you because you're Almighty God. We thank you that you're gracious God, good God, loving God. We're so unworthy of your multiplied loving kindnesses. And Father, I pray, please tonight, despite the distractions, I pray that we walk away and that the Spirit of God this week will remind us, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And Father, we think about those things in that sanctuary of our heart, in his high place, in the hall of fame, in his holy place. Father, in his audience, that we would be uttering praises to God. And so thank you, Lord. Thank you tonight as well that the kids are meeting in their new class and getting to enjoy that space. And Father, we can't hear them very much. And we praise you for that. It's in Christ's name we pray.